Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the Bama Online Podcast. This one's set for a Wednesday, April the 27th, 2022. Travis Schreier, Senior Analyst for BamaOnline.com, joined once again by Senior Team Reporter Charlie Potter, veteran of the Alabama beat and certainly a valuable piece to the BamaOnline.com puzzle. Charlie, we got a lot to talk about on this hump day edition of the BOL Podcast. We're going to have some roster news to sort out, both for football and men's basketball at UA. And then we'll get into some next men up possibilities for this 2022 Alabama football team, because we haven't spoken with you on the podcast since the completion of spring drills. And then we'll get into some NFL draft. You got the first round of the 2022 NFL draft set to get underway Thursday night in Las Vegas, another strong Alabama contingent. We'll view it, we'll discuss it more so today from a standpoint of potential risers and fallers, because there's so much smoke, it seems like, this week as we get ready for the draft. And then maybe a potential surprise or two from the Alabama perspective for the upcoming draft. First of all, though, Charlie, welcome back to the show, my man.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Kind of the last surge of the year before, you know, hopefully I'm crossing my fingers here, a quiet summer and getting back into another season. But it's always fun for draft week because I've said it before on the podcast, you follow these guys for, you know, the latter part of their high school careers and then throughout their time in Alabama, and to see them, you know, get ready for the NFL draft. It's always just kind of cool to see them share their stories even more and their families, their reactions. So, you know, obviously you don't have much of a hand in their journeys up to this point, but you've seen it from a press box point of view, and it's cool to see their dreams come true.
Yeah, and you've done an outstanding job for us there at Bama Online, sort of keeping us up to speed on what the mockiverse, I guess you could say, has been saying or projecting for these Alabama players and their draft hopes coming up here over the next 3 days. So it's been a good run for you in that regard. And you've certainly here in the last a little bit right there at BamaOnline.com given us a tutorial on the Alabama draft history, specifically under Nick Saban, man. And we'll get more into this later in the podcast, but every year it seems like at least a program record goes by the wayside, and we'll get into that coming up in just a little bit as well. First, so Charlie, some roster news. We'll start from the football side of things, because here most recently, a guy that we really didn't get to know all that much, I guess, after a redshirt season in 2021, Kane Williams, the latest Alabama player to enter the transfer portal, the safety from the New Orleans area, and it's a position, even I guess once you get beyond Jordan Battle and DeMarco Ellums returning as the starters, still some pretty good depth there, I guess, if you include some of the sub-package guys in that mix as well.
Yeah, and I do. You know, Brian Branch and Malachi Moore, I consider them safeties. And so I think that Alabama's really deep at that position. You know, it's later this, probably not this week, probably after the draft, once, you know, the dust settles on that, I'm going to go back and kind of rank the position groups going into the summer. And I was just kind of thinking of it in my head, and safety is going to be near the top of the list because of what they return and Battle and Hellums, you know, returning starters. But then you include Branch and Malachi Moore, who can both play safety if need be, but are going to play, like you said, more in the slot, close to the line of scrimmage. But then, you know, a guy like Christian Story had a really good spring, I think. Devontae Smith is a young player that we've seen kind of get some second team minutes as well. And then Alabama is going to be bringing in a couple of safeties this summer in Antonio Kite and Jake Pope. So that's eight deep at the position. So it kind of makes sense for a guy kind of low on the totem pole to enter the portal. You're right, though. It's a pretty quick turnaround for Kane Williams, who was a true freshman last year. He saw his first playing time in the Georgia game in the national championship. That was his only appearance of the 2021 season. But that's a position group when you just kind of survey the roster that made a little bit of sense for maybe someone to leave, because Alabama's got to get down to the 85. You know, I have them at 87 right now, so that means two more guys will enter the portal. We've seen two do so since the end of spring practice with Stephon Wynn, the defensive lineman, and now Kane Williams. And so obviously I'm not going to speculate on who could be next, but you know, you can kind of just look at the roster and where Alabama's got some depth, and that's in a lot of positions. So you know, hopefully he can find a good spot for him. Kane Williams can to get some more playing time and to further his career. But you know, with one subtraction from the position, Alabama's still in really good shape at the safety spot entering the 2022 season.
You mentioned Wynn, and it feels like a similar situation there when you consider interior defensive line types for this Alabama team, from some of the vets that we've seen continue to emerge, like a Jamil Burrows, to even a newcomer like Jaheim Otis. They have stockpiled some interior guys at this point. So really, it makes sense for – is Wynn a super senior at this point? Is he going to be a six-year guy? Is he using the COVID year? I know he's a fifth or a sixth. It makes sense for him to go find a place where he can get some potential reps.
Yeah, I think he will be a fifth-year senior.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, it feels like he's been in the program for a while now.
Forever, and, yeah.
Some of these guys, you look at it, it feels like they've been here for a while. And that's probably going to be the case with these guys taking advantage of, you know, the extra year of eligibility. But, you know, you're right. I mean, Alabama has some good depth at that interior, on the interior defensive line. You look at a guy like DJ Dale coming back, you know, that obviously he'll be likely the starter going into, you know, this season. You look at a guy like Jamil Burrows, who Nick Saban really praised for having one of the best springs of anybody, you know, on campus. He also mentioned Tim Smith as a person to be doing that. And then I think that, you know, you have some younger guys. You mentioned Jaheim Otis. You know, he's done some good things with his body to kind of you'll get into good playing shape. You look at guys like Tim Keenan. I think he's in the same boat. You know, Damon Payne, Anquan Barnes, they can play in the middle. So Alabama has good depth from a nose guard perspective, and they also, you know, the defensive end positions. And it's a group, again, it's deep. It has experience coming back in terms of first team minutes. It has some good young reserves. So it's in a good spot from a defensive line perspective. I think they want to continue to get those young guys to make progress, though, namely, you know, Burrows and some of these guys, kind of keep it up over the course of the summer, because they were some of the headliners of the spring in terms of, you know, strong performances. But Stephon Wynn, he's a guy that, you know, he's been in the program for a while. He's played, you know, quite a bit as a reserve, and now he's going to, you know, look to finish his last year of eligibility somewhere where he can get some increased minutes. So, again, he's a guy that he'll be finds a good landing spot, but you know, Alabama's got some good depth at nose guard with him leaving.
Yeah, and he is still at a position of value, so it wouldn't surprise me if Stephon Wynn landed at a Power Five, or certainly a group of five that ranks among the best programs at that level. Still a lot of value in a veteran guy like that, who has been a part of the nation's top program at Alabama. Now, we talk about big news, if not expected news, when it comes to the transfer portal. On the other side of all this, Tyler Harrell comes in from Louisville, the speedster from UL. That's good for the Alabama offense as a whole. I don't think anybody would argue that. But when you think about it in terms of its totality, you wonder, don't you, about how it's going to impact some of the existing guys in that room. And when you consider the potential for further attrition and needed attrition, really, as you outlined with the numbers, as you know them right now, is that a connect the dots area that you look to for this football team where you might see a departure perhaps?
It could happen. Yeah. I mean, Alabama has 12 receivers right now. given that, you know, Tyler Harrell and three of their signees will be coming in the summer. You know, they finished the spring with eight guys on campus. Obviously, Ja'Cory Brooks didn't do much because of injury. So seven guys participated in the 8A game. And it could be a spot where, you know, a guy looks elsewhere for playing time. And they've had, you know, two wide receivers into the portal already this offseason, with Javon Baker doing so after the national championship game. He ended up at Kentucky, and then, of course, the Jai Hall situation and going to Texas. So it could be another spot, just because Alabama's bringing in, you know, a couple of juniors or a couple of experienced players that, you know, should be instant impact kind of guys. But I think some of these young guys, too, are going to have an opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at the wide receiver position. You know, 12 is a pretty hefty number, but it's not anything to where, you know, some of these guys would look to move on, some of the young guys. So I would maybe look at some of the older players in the program. But again, I don't want to speculate on who will enter right. The portal. That's not good for me or them. But I do think it's worth mentioning that could be an area to look for, because, you know, adding two transfers, while it is a position of need, it can affect some of the younger players, some of the guys that haven't played as much. But it was obviously a position that Nick Saban and company felt they needed to address, and I think they got better with adding Jermaine Burton and Tyler Harrell this offseason.
Let's talk some hoops. Javon Quinterly, I think going into the matchup with Notre Dame in the NCAA tournament, no one really was anticipating a potential return by Javon Quinterly for another season with the Crimson Tide. Unfortunately for both he and head coach Nate Oates and that team in general, he goes down with the knee injury against the Irish. And then here in the last few days, we learn from Javon that he will in fact return for another year with the Crimson Tide. That being said, again, is it safe to say that the injury changed everything, Charlie, in all likelihood, where his plans were concerned?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, going into that NCAA tournament game, I was counting Javon Quinterly as a departing player for this team. You know, he took part in senior day. You know, he came up and spoke with us, and he said all the right things in terms of a guy that looked to be, you know, leaving the program. And I think the injury did change things. And now, you know, it's a situation where, you know, he likely won't be available until probably SEC play, kind of a James Rojas situation from last year. But, you know, he gives Alabama five returning players. You know, it's him, Charles Bediako, Noah Gurley, Darius Miles, and Namari Burnett, which Namari Burnett is essentially a new player for fans because, you know, we haven't seen him and you haven't there. He hasn't been able to do much on the court in terms of practice with the team. So you have six incoming players. That's 11. So this is easy math. And that means they only have two spots, you know, left to fill, which, you know, Nate Oates and his staff have been, you know, doing their due diligence and raking through the transfer portal market. But, you know, I think anytime you get a guy like Javon Quinterly, who's experienced, who, you know, showed signs of being a strong leader down the stretch, you know, a lot was made about the voluntary workout, you know, when they were out in California, and it showed how locked in he was. I think that'll help him, one, in his recovery, but two, kind of be more of a leader, you know, coming back for one more year at Alabama and whenever he's able to get on the court, and even when he's not, you know, going to practice and just speaking up. I think it can be good for the roster, because it's going to be a completely new roster next year with so many new faces, you know, coming in and contributing. So to have a guy like Javon Quinterly, who knows the system and who was, you know, kind of turning the corner and going down the right street, you know, toward the end of last season, I think that's significant for Alabama. It'll be interesting to see when he can get back, because they're going to have some pretty good guard play with Mark Sears coming in from Ohio and Bradley coming in as a true freshman. They've got talent and they've got experience, but you know, Javon Quinterly has experience in this program and he's proven to be a talented player, and getting him back is pretty big.
Yeah, you look at it, and with Shackelford and Davison moving on, and even with the additions, and as you described it accurately in terms of Namari Burnett, because we haven't seen him. We didn't see him in his first year with the program because of the injury. There still looks to be a need for a ball handler, and especially when you consider the possibility, God forbid, another injury or two at the position, and you get around to, say, January of next year, and you're into SEC play, and if that's when Quinterly really is able to sort of get back into the mix, there's value. There's undoubted value when you think about Quinterly and what he might be able to provide in another year. And the transfer portal's still out there, right? In terms of potential additions, I guess the Oregon State guard Jared Lucas has been, I guess, linked to Alabama, Charlie. And as you said, it doesn't look like, you know, Alabama's totally done on that front.
No, I think Nate Oates would want to fill out a full roster, and you know that's with 13 players for so two spots are available. And I think they'll look to go probably the wing route. You can never really have too many of those, and you know, with so many guys you know leaving, and you know having a guy like Quinterly on the shelf for you know half the season, if not more, you know just to get you know guys on the wing that can score and play defense will be big. And you know Jared Lucas from Oregon State, you know he's a proven player. He averaged double figures in terms of scoring, shot over 40% from the field last year. You know, not saying he's you know slam dunk to Alabama, but you know getting him in for a visit you know this week is significant, and we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think that in the transfer portal from a basketball perspective is the way that a lot of schools are going to round out their roster. And you know, Nate Oates and company have done a solid job of that already with Mark Sears coming in. And I think they'll look to continue to fill out this roster and get two more guys on campus and signed and everything before the season starts.
All right, we're talking filling spots. So let's shift back towards football and consider some opportunities where this 2022 edition of Nick Saban Alabama football is concerned. You've hit on some of this with your updates for us there at BOL as we transitioned out of spring football, and but we'll get a few out here on the podcast, and we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. And you know, post spring practice, Charlie, coming out of those 15 workouts, the tackle position. Did you get the sense when A-Day came to a close, we were any closer to figuring out both those spots, left and right tackle, than we were going into spring practice? And I'm going to assume that, you know, Tyler Steen coming in from Vanderbilt, obviously a big part of that equation as well.
Yeah, I think it was a little clearer. Yeah, you know, it's still murky. You know, I've said all along this offensive line was going to be TBD during spring practice, just because one, not even just the tackle spots, you had a couple starters in the interior out, and you're going to be adding to that with, you know, what was expected at the time to be Tyler Steen and obviously came to fruition. So I think that you look at the offensive line and what we saw in the 8A game, and that was pretty much what we saw or heard about, you know, throughout the spring. It was Kendall Randolph at left tackle. You had Javion Cohen at left guard, a returning starter there. You had Seth McLaughlin at center. You had Emil Ekior at right guard, Emil Ekior was out, so you had Damian George at right guard, and then you had J.C. Latham at right tackle. And I think Latham did some good things. I think he would probably start, you know, fall practice at right tackle. That wouldn't shock me at all. I think he's in a good position, but obviously hasn't solidified himself there yet. But I think, you know, we've seen the number maybe dwindle a little bit. I don't think anybody's completely out of the race. I want to, you know, say that first mm-hmm. and foremost. But I think Randolph, Latham, Kite are right there in the mix. Maybe you throw Tyler Booker in there. I don't know. Tommy Brockermeyer is still worth mentioning. But I think Latham, Randolph, Kite, and then Tyler Steen will probably be your top four tackles going into preseason camp. So I think the competition is still going to be ongoing. I think that you know, we might see you know that group you know, shift around quite a bit. You know, going into game one, maybe even beyond. Who knows? But we're trying to find the right five guys to put on the field. And you know, the interior is in good shape with Cohen and Ekior coming back. You have Dalcourt and Seth McLaughlin. I think Dalcourt, you know, when healthy, probably gets the nod there, even though I've seen plenty of people on the message board disagree with that.
You are absolutely wrong, Charlie.
But I think the tackle position is still the biggest question mark. While it is a little bit clearer and you're adding Tyler Steen to that mix, who's going to come in and compete for a starting job, it's still undecided. I think there's at least four players in the mix. I would give the edge to those four, but I don't think you can close the door on anybody else. And that's going to be really fascinating to see how it plays out this fall, because Alabama's got talent, obviously, at the quarterback position with Bryce Young coming back and at the running back position. But you want to give those guys time to make plays. And if the offensive line can't do that, That'll be problematic. I will say, though, any offensive line would have struggled in that 8A game because Alabama's defensive line is just on another level. They're also a little bit with their hand tied behind their back because they're not doing anything from a tight end or chip block perspective to help those tackles out. And then the quarterbacks are in black jerseys, so all they got to do is tag them. That being said, the defensive front was very impressive, and the offensive line still has work to do. But I think it's a little clear, but still it's one of those groups that we're going to see it probably change quite a bit going into preseason camp.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You gave up 41 sacks with Evan Neal last year. That's what's scary. That's the scariest thing of all this to me in sort of working on the quarterbacks piece I did here for BOL in the last week or so. You know, that's just a stunning number because, there have been years where a Nick Saban offense at Alabama hasn't given up 20, let alone 41. I mean, that's easily a Saban era high. And so, absolutely, offensive tackle. I think you used the perfect adjective, by the way. Murky. I like that one. I think it is definitely murky, and I agree with your candidates that I don't think you can discount. I don't think you can discount Tyler Booker. And, watching him back in December and kind of reviewing his tape, I didn't really like him as a tackle at this level. But it may be that he's the best option. It may be that I know they don't want to mess with that interior because they've got it back in whole. But, you still may have to cross-train a guy out there. Who knows? It's going to be, no doubt, going into fall camp, it's going to be the topic of discussion for the Alabama offense. And also tight end as an extension of that, I guess, Charlie. I mean, Robbie Utes did some good things this spring. You know that you got Cameron Latu back. But I guess there have been rumblings, too, that if Alabama goes back into the transfer portal, it could be for a guy at that spot.
Yeah, and I think, say Tyler Steen wins the left tackle job and J.C. Latham holds on to right tackle, you get a guy in Kendall Randolph who can play that position again, and add some beef up front. That's the silver lining in some of this. But you're right, it's a thin group. It's very inexperienced beyond Cameron Latu. And Cameron Latu still, just on what now his third year at tight end. Coming over from outside linebacker. So, he's not just a guy that spent his entire career working at tight end. So I think he'll get a little better and get a little bit more confident and hopefully the drops, aren't an issue for him. But, Robbie Utes had a good spring. Jamil Burrows is probably most improved or most productive on defense, and Robbie Utes is in that same vein on offense. Nick Saban had a lot of good things to say about him. But then, beyond those two, it's just true freshmen. So, if Alabama is to go back to the portal, I think tight end makes a lot of sense. Nick Saban's not just going to go out and get anybody. But if there's a guy out there that they feel good about, then, I think they'll certainly kick the tires on that and see how it goes because they don't have just a ton of proven experience there. I think they're interested to see what a guy like Amari Nyeblack brings to the table from a receiving standpoint, but I think that they're going to need some beef up front and hopefully, some of these young guys continue to develop.
And Cam Latu at tight end is kind of like Christian Harris was at linebacker. You were going to have to live with some things with Christian Harris in making that full-time adaptation to inside linebacker from the high school ranks. Cam Latu has gone through some of those same transitional pains, but, depth at tight end, something that Charlie and the rest of us will keep an eye on moving forward. Defensively, corner and weak side linebacker drew a lot of the attention in the spring. Charlie, what was your sort of 10,000-foot view of those two spots and the ongoing competitions that you're going to have at both those positions?
Yeah, like you said, I think the competition is ongoing, but I think it's good competition. It's not one where they're just stressed about finding a guy to fill that spot and do it well. I think they have multiple options at both spots. I think clearly you have Henry Toa coming back and Jalen Moody came back for a super senior year, came out of the transfer portal after a brief stint in there and has played well. I think I had him as someone that helped themselves this spring. I did kind of a player at each position that helped themselves. And the reason that I included him is because he didn't lose his job. He didn't do anything to, warrant Deontay Lawson to even get first team reps in the spring game. I think Lawson's right there. I think he's going to continue to push him. I think at times this spring they were neck and neck in that competition. But, you know, Jalen Moody playing alongside Henry Toa-Toa, that gives you two seniors in the middle of the defense. We've talked about it in the past where, you know, from a defensive line, inside linebacker, safety perspective, Alabama could have seniors at every spot there, just an experienced middle of the defense. And I think that'd be beneficial. And I think Jalen Moody is, you know, improved. He's progressed in the program. He's learned the defense, you know, well enough. And I think he's a guy that, if he can continue to keep it up, they can hold on to that spot. But I think Deontay Lawson and really some of the other linebackers too will continue to push him there. And then at corner, you know, Nick Saban essentially said they have three guys competing for those two spots. So you have Khalid McKinstry and Kyrie Jackson, who we saw with the first team defense on 8A, and then Eli Ricks, the LSU transfer. And I know some people are wondering, like, well, how is Eli Ricks not already ahead of Kyrie Jackson or one of the others? And well, he came into Alabama coming off an injury. He had to gain weight back. He spent a lot of the spring in a black jersey. I thought it was really encouraging that he was in crimson, he was in crimson in the 8A game, and not a black no contact jersey. And he was able to move around with no limitations. And so I think that's a sign of his continued progress coming back from that injury. And I think, you know, Khalid McKinstry has the most first team experience. I kind of pencil him in as a starter. So I think the competition is kind of between Kyrie Jackson and Eli Ricks. And when you say that, that's a good problem to have if you're Alabama. You know, they have both starters coming back at safety. You have, you know, Malachi Moore and Brian Branch in the slot. And to have three quality options at corner, and really four with Terrion Arnold, a promising young player, you got to feel good about the depth there. So competition's ongoing at both spots, but Alabama has some solid young players that are pushing some of the returning veterans. And I think whoever ends up winning those starting jobs are going to be in good shape.
Yeah, healthy competition at both those spots, weak side linebacker and corner. And, man, when you combine the candidates at corner with the sub-package defensive guys at star and money and then the safety positions, I don't view Alabama being in a bad spot at all at corner and really at weak side linebacker either, because I think Jalen Moody can – give you more than you need at that position if it comes down to it. But there's also some budding stars to consider, including Deontay Lawson at that position as well. I think Deontay's, by the way, going to be able to step in at the mic in a year's time if that's what it is needed. I think he's a guy that can run the show there in the middle of the defense. Hey, let's get into some NFL draft talk here as we wrap up a Wednesday edition of the Bama Online Podcast. Charlie Potter joining us on this afternoon. Man, just seems like the closer we get to Thursday night's first round of the 2022 NFL draft, Charlie, there's more and more smoke. And it added some as we were actually recording this podcast, because the team with the number one overall selection, the Orlando Magic of the NFL, my Jacksonville Jaguars, your Orlando Magic, we're getting word that the Jags have gone ahead, speaking of Alabama news, and signed Cam Robinson, the left tackle for the Jags, previously of UA, to an extension. So he had previously been franchised. Now he gets an extension. And certainly that makes you wonder about the direction that the Jags may go there at number one overall on Thursday night. But for Evan Neal in general, it just seems like the last 4 or 5 days, Charlie, there have been rumors about his health and, you know, things like that. And, man, it just seems like from the number one spot to down near 10, just in the last week, when you think things are going to start to calm down a little bit, it seems like for Evan, they've ramped up.
Yeah, I mean, it's been weird. And honestly, it's not uncommon for this stuff to happen around this time of year. Whether it's from, you know, other agents or teams looking to take a player. So I kind of feel like it is a smokescreen, because you've seen his camp. You know, they've talked quite a bit, you know, going into the draft. Duke Manyweather, who's kind of his personal online coach, has really debunked these rumors. Said there was no medical recheck at the combine, you know, which would have been the first kind of red flag in terms of, you know, things going on with Evan Neal. And so, and he's a guy that he only missed one game in his career, and that was the 2020 season because of COVID. He started every game. Other than that, I don't think he had any kind of issues in high school. So I lean more towards it just being a rumor and maybe someone hoping that one, Evan falls with them, or two, you know, their client, you know, gets drafted ahead of Neal. Who knows? You know, it's a crazy business. But I think regardless, Evan Neal's one of those guys, you know, going into this draft, that he's one of those can't miss prospects. You know, he's played three different positions in Alabama's offensive line and played well at all three. He was an All-American last year. Never had any kind of issues from an off the field perspective, stepped into a leadership role this past season. And I think he makes whatever team drafts him better. And, you know, it's good news for Cam Robinson, because this is his second year in a row that he signed a franchise tag. And for him to get a more long-term deal is always beneficial for the player. And that being said, I don't think it would be nuts for the Jaguars to just – that mean they're not going to take an offensive lineman to protect Trevor Lawrence. Makes too much
they
sense.
They still should.
Yeah.
They still should go OL, because they were going to have Cam regardless right. For the upcoming season. And so they still need an offensive lineman. They put him on the right side for a couple of three
exactly.
years. And then let Cam play out his new deal, and then you can move Evan over to the left side. And if you think you're okay at right tackle, play Evan inside. They still need help up front on that offensive line, sir.
It's just it does. It makes too much sense. And you look at the mock drafts, and he has kind of, you know, dipped a little bit. One of the popular landing spots was number 5 to the New York Giants. I know they have Andrew Thomas at the left tackle spot, who kind of came on late last season. So, you know, Evan can step in at right tackle, and it can certainly, you know, help them out. You know, help out Brian Daboll in his first year as head coach, and, you know, protect Daniel Jones at quarterback, and, you know, block for Saquon Barkley. So we'll see. I mean, if Evan Neal falls out of the first round, then there has to be either one, something seriously wrong, or two, just a bunch of really dumbass GMs.
That's possible, especially for my team. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, with Evan, heck, it might be a blessing he doesn't end up in Jacksonville.
I see the potential for a Trendon Wirfs type player in Evan Neal, wherever he goes, or Tristan Wirfs, excuse me. And so, you know, look, you don't have to take him, but I think wherever he goes, as you said, you're getting an instant starter and a guy who's going to help upgrade any offensive line that he joins here in the very near future. What about Jameson Williams? Conversely, it seems like, at least what I've been able to keep up with, seems like Jameson's trending in a pretty positive direction here late.
Yeah, I mean, the talk now is kind of the talk of before the injury, of where he could be the first receiver, you know, taken. And I think really the upward trend has been for both wide receivers from Alabama. I think the recoveries are going well for both Jameson Williams and John Metchie. That's great news. You know, John Metchie is a guy that, you know, people have been mentioning could be ready for the season, maybe even training camp. And I think that's the target for both players. You know, ACL injuries, it's so different now, and the turnaround is quick. You know, there's no, you know, long lasting effects or anything like that. And these guys are back on the field and doing drills and taping them and sending them to teams, on a regular basis, Jameson Williams being the latest of that. So I think it wouldn't shock me to see Jameson Williams be the first wide receiver off the board. You know, but I think he's not going to have to wait very long. I think, you know, this is a very deep draft for wide receivers, but I think a lot of them are going to fly off the board pretty early. So I think that Jameson Williams is certainly trending in the right direction. And, you know, we'll see. I think a team like the Eagles would be intriguing. I think really, you know, the Eagles or the Patriots, both of those former Alabama quarterbacks need help at the receiver position. And I think Mac Jones and Jalen would be very happy to get, you know, J-Mo on the field and to be able to, you know, throw bombs to him. It's kind of a shame because, you know, the Chiefs made too much sense with Tyreek Hill, you know, going to the Dolphins. I don't know if he'll even last that long now. Just think of Patrick Mahomes dialing up bombs for Jameson Williams would be a lot of fun to watch. But regardless, I think Jameson will be a guy that doesn't last very long there in the first round come Thursday.
I have absolutely zero intel on this, okay? But I would watch the Packers, and I understand the Packers aren't in a position probably right now where they're going to pick to be able to acquire Jameson Williams, but somehow, some way, I just think of Jameson Williams as a Davante Adams type for Aaron Rodgers in that offense. I don't know. It's just a flyer I'm throwing out there, but it is. It's a solid. It's a really good group of wide receivers this year. Doesn't appear to be maybe a Jamar Chase, you know, at the top of that list, but there's going to be a lot of value in those second, third rounds, especially with a guy like John Mechie that we expect to be around after the opening round. And so with that, I ask you, Charlie, surprises from that next group, the Christian Harris, John Mechie, Mathis, Brian Robinson, Jalen Armour Davis, Chris Allen, Josh Job. Do you anticipate who would be your pick or two if you were going to say one way or the other? Goes earlier, goes later than maybe what we're anticipating where that next wave of Alabama players is concerned.
Yeah, I think my number three player would be Christian Harris. You know, he did a lot of good stuff for himself at the combine, you know, running a 4.4, really showed his speed. And I think, you know, he continues just to get more and more comfortable with that linebacker position. He played his best ball down the stretch of this past season. And yeah, I think that he's going to be a guy that he'll be the first guy off the board, maybe in the second round. I think he, John Mechie, Fidarian Mathis are all kind of in that second round window. They might, you know, drop to round three. You never know how the draft is going to play out. But I think Christian Harris would be next up for me, and he has been for a while now. I think if John Mechie was healthy, he might be in that discussion. And again, I think John Mechie is kind of trending in the right direction in terms of his recovery. But I think Christian Harris, you know, being kind of the second, third, maybe fourth best inside linebacker on the board, I think he won't have to wait very long. But you know, looking at some of these mock drafts, I was really surprised to see where, you know, teams or not more teams where these writers had Brian Robinson. You know, I was seeing, 175 in the 200s, things like that. And I was just like, I know the running back position is kind of been devalued a little bit, and you don't really see, you know, running backs go in the first round and they kind of drop down to the draft. But, you know, there aren't 200 players in this draft better than Brian Robinson. And so he might be a guy that is drafted later, but it's through no fault of his own. I think he's going to have a solid pro career. And, you know, he would be a guy that I would take a little higher. I think when I was looking, CBS had a couple mock drafts. One had him at 206. These are both seven round drafts. And then one had him at 101. So that's quite the disparity. I think I would probably put him somewhere in the middle there. And I think that, you know, he can certainly help a team. But I think Alabama is going to end up with at least nine players drafted. I think Slade Bolden maybe is the difference maker in terms of getting to 10 or not. You know, maybe the New England Patriots have a seventh round pick and they run to the podium and get Slade Bolden to team back up with Mac Jones. But I think it's going to be, once again, a busy 3 days in terms of Alabama players coming off the board.
I think what helps a lot of those guys that we've talked about that are looking at maybe day three is that they can play special teams, right?
Yeah.
Brian Robinson can be a special teamer. Jalen Armour Davis certainly can be a special teamer. Slade Bolden, if needed, certainly filled that role at Alabama. Josh Job, Mechie, depending on maybe where he goes. So a lot of special team potential with this Alabama group. And really, it's going to be a draft that – it should captivate Alabama fans all 3 days, right? Because really, when you look at the potential layout from the UA perspective, you're thinking each of the 3 days you're going to hear Alabama players called.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think Neal and Jameson will be the only two first-round picks, so that's day one. Day two, you look at Christian Harris, John Mechie, Fidarian Mathis, maybe a Jalen Armour Davis. It was three or four on day two, and then day three – if Armour Davis isn't called, then, you know, he and Josh Job should hear their name called in rounds four through seven. You've got Brian Robinson. You've got Chris Allen. So, yeah, this should be a pretty busy weekend.
What if Alabama has a player taken in every round? That would just sort of round out this Nick Saban era of NFL draft picks. You know, one through seven, just have guys go in every round of the draft. It's not, man. I mean, it's in play. We ought to do a drinking game based on it, you know?
Yeah, that would, you would
every round in a row that Alabama has a player taken this weekend? Drink. Well, at least you could spread it out over 3 days. That might be quite a bender, though, Charlie.
That's true. But it you know, this is the weekend where it's busy in terms of coverage. You got to literally stay glued to the TV for 3 days, and that's not always that much.
Yeah.
Fun. But it's Alabama has what seems like endless recruiting ammunition. But this is the biggest weekend. You know, I know NIL is the topic of discussion in college football, but NFL.
This is the NFL collective for Alabama, yeah.
This is where the real money is made, and there's going to be a lot of guys get paid this weekend.
A lot of records, more records expected to fall, or at least be tied when you consider the 14 straight years, I guess, with a first-round pick, which – unquestionably, undoubtedly, will be broken in a year's time. Alabama and Miami in that deadlock. But as you said, there's going to be other stuff going on too. Alabama softball with a rare weekend off before wrapping up SEC play in a week's time against Missouri. But you are going to have Alabama baseball in an important series, traveling to Columbia, South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. So a lot of stuff between the NFL draft, ongoing post-spring practice talk. It's still very much transfer portal season, although is it really a season anymore? Is there a season? It's just daily, isn't it, the transfer portal?
It feels like it. Well, I mean, yeah. We do have the May 1st deadline coming up, so that's at least
a
for fall.
Freeze maybe a little bit, yeah.
But I did want to ask, because we're wrapping up here, you being a Jags fan, we talked about Evan Neal. Who do you want the Jags to take number one overall, and who do you think they'll take number one overall?
I want them to take an offensive lineman, and I think Evan. I know Evan. I know his game anyway. I don't personally know Evan, but I know what he brings to the table, and I know they need help, whether it's right tackle, guard. They need help. They still need help. I think they're going to take Trayvon Walker from Georgia. Number one overall. And Trayvon Walker is going to have maybe two sacks next season. And the fan base is going to lose their collective shit.
Will you be among them?
You know, not really. I'm kind of desensitized at this point, Charlie. They can't hurt me. They can't hurt me anymore.
That's a good spot to be in.
Yeah. Kind of like you and the Magic. You know, like I said earlier, you know, you just – anything that's positive is, you know, you just take it and run with it. But I want them to take, even if it was Ekwonu from NC State, whatever. I just want another guy up front, not only for Trevor Lawrence, but for some semblance of a run game, which would help Trevor Lawrence and that defense. But just a little bit I can gather and sort of just understanding the situation, they're going to go defense. And I think if it is, it's going to be Walker instead of Hutchinson. So for what it's worth, right, take it with a grain of salt, as they say on the round table, which is where you ought to hang out with us at BamaOnline.com, the premium message board of choice for Crimson Tide fans. Charlie, man, always enjoy it. Always fun chopping it up with Charlie here on the Bama Online Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast as of yet, you should do that right now. And if you'd leave us a rating and a review, we would greatly appreciate it as well. Hey, Charlie, thanks again. Enjoy what you can of the upcoming weekend.
I'll try. It's always fun to keep up with this.
It is.
You know, it's the time of year where this is kind of the last ship out of the harbor. Then you have the off season for a couple months. So I'll try to enjoy it. And it's always good to catch up with you, Travis.
I always enjoy it. And for more of Charlie, Tim Watts, Hank South, Kirk McNair, and myself, get to BamaOnline.com. Again, hang out with us at the roundtable, the premium message board there at BOL. For Charlie Potter, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us here on the Bama Online Podcast. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.